quarter than our man Wild Bill. He was Cupid earlier this year. It's got to be distracting shooting free throws.
Taking Kellen's line. What's up, guys? This is your boy Wild Bill. I like it. Can we start with this one?
Mm-hmm.
I've done a couple other.
Yeah, we'll roll.
Yeah, Kellen hasn't mic'd him so far. But you know, you got the Aggie Legends podcast with your boy Wild Bill and my dude, Kellen.
What's up, dude?
We're back at it. We've released a few. This is what, our third or fourth?
Somewhere in there.
Something after our hiatus. Got a good little guest for you. Not so little, he's taller than me.
I was going to say, he's not a small person at all, in fact.
Yeah, it's funny because it's a basketball guy. We'll get into it in a second. But those guys out on the court, the ones that are like 6'2", 6'1", look like they're like 4 feet tall out there.
Yeah, seriously.
And, you know, standing next to like Gary Wilkinson.
Yeah.
You know, any of those guys, well, they look.
It's funny you say that because last night the Jazz game, just to give some time reference here as to when this is being recorded, last night of the Jazz game, they honored Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell for their All-Star, being on the All-Star team.
Uh-huh.
And Donovan Mitchell standing by his big picture, and Rudy Gobert is 7 foot, is on the other side, and he makes everyone look like they're a child.
Yeah.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell's not super tall anyway. I think, what, 6'2", 6'3"? I think he's listed 6'3". But, like, those big dudes are
big.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't think that Donovan Mitchell is a tall guy.
Just because of who he plays around.
Yeah, who he hangs out with. Yeah. Like me, I think people think I'm a lot shorter and fatter than I am. I mean, I'm fat, don't get me wrong. But I think I'm a lot shorter than I am because my buddies average like 6'6".
Oh, that's true.
You know?
So, that's true. The crew you run with makes you look pretty short, but you're not
short.
Well,
and they're the ones that first told me I was going bald. So
we could see the male bear bald.
It was Ty, actually. Like, dude, you need to cut that.
Just go for it. Adopt it.
Yeah. But thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kellen, for tuning in.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Actually, thanks, Kellen's mom. And my mom.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get rid of those shirts.
Yeah, I have a plan.
Okay.
Well, stay tuned on Twitter.
I won't take it from you then.
Actually, no. Let's see. When will this release? We might need to announce it. Do the math real quick, Bill.
17?
Because I have an idea.
I don't know your
Can
idea.
Can I tell you the idea on the air?
Yeah.
Here's what I think we do. Are you still planning on maybe going down to the tournament?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So I think we have the first person to find you at the tournament gets the first shirt.
Oh, that works, yeah.
You want to take it with you?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, rather than doing it on Twitter. I mean, we can still tweet that you're there.
Do you know what size it is? We'll tell them.
Oh, I think it's a large. Yeah, she did two larges because she wanted them to fit normal size people, not me and you.
Yeah,
she made like, special sizes for us.
Yeah, let's do that. First person to find me and ask for the
Subdued shirt.
I'll give it to you. I am planning on doing some golfing, so.
Oh, even can if find you find me on the links. Ooh, I like that.
Wherever I am, find me, and we'll give you a shirt. That's cool. Yeah, I'm definitely planning. I'm going to roll down. I was going to buy some tickets, but I like the idea of having a car. So we're going to just drive down real quick, spend the weekend, me and a couple buddies. So
I wish I could be there. I have a work trip. I'll be in Detroit.
Kellen's not a real Aggie man.
Totally.
That's what he doesn't know any stats.
I don't.
Actually, if we base on Aggie fandom on stats, he's got me. He's way more of a fan.
We know
than
you're
I am.
More of a fan than me. Anyway, yeah. Tyler's over here patiently waiting for us.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, anyway, we'll get to the actual episode.
Sure.
Find me in Vegas.
For real. That would be cool.
Yeah, and even if I don't have a shirt to give you,
we got stickers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just take all of them.
Can we say that?
Yeah, you did last time, so let's just roll with it, dude.
We got stickers.
We may have made those early.
But hey, it's good now. We're all legal. Yep. We're good to go.
And we're. Yeah, we're not making money. We just want to give them to you. They're like little laptop stickers or stick them to a mug.
Yeah.
I've seen them stuck to the back of
Preston
phones.
Medlin has them on. He has a big sticker wall.
Oh, okay.
We
just stick them to your sticker wall.
Yeah, we have a big first aid kit with a sticker on there. So wherever you want to put them. Put them on your glasses. Can't see through them. You're good. but anyway, we're going on to our guests now. Thanks for letting us just chat there, Tyler.
Oh, I love it. You guys are funny. 5 minutes.
I do. My wife doesn't think I'm as funny as I am. I don't know why she doesn't get it. No. Lots of cougar jokes.
Yeah, I've heard a few of those.
We're sitting with Tyler Newbold. What's up, man?
Hey guys.
What's up, dude?
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I love your podcast. You guys do awesome work. So I'm excited to be on. So
yeah, we're excited to have you, honestly.
Yeah, Tyler, part of one of arguably the glory days of Utah State. Some of the dream teams, if you will. There's a few eras of that, but I feel like
this is one of them.
Definitely one of them. Yeah. Played with Ty Wesley, Matt Formisano, and on both ends, some pretty. Did you ever play with Nate Harris?
He got done right before I got up there. Okay. Yeah. So I know Ty probably played with him before he left on his mission.
Yeah.
And I knew Ty. Knew him, I was 1 year younger than Ty, in school. We graduated the same year because I didn't have a redshirt year, but in college. But yeah. Nate, I obviously know Nate really well just through the recruiting process, and because he was playing when I was obviously that was.
I was actually in high school. We graduated same class, same school, everything. We went to high school together, me and Nate.
Yeah, I've done a few camps with Nate. Me and him have done. These are a while ago though, but I know Nate.
Good guy,
decently. He's a good way. We'll definitely
try and get him on here.
Yeah, for sure.
So Tyler, Tyler's a basketball guy. Were you two or a three? You were two.
So yeah. My career, I started at the two, but
I've gotten some feedback on this.
What
is the two?
What is that?
What does a two mean?
So a two to me means the shooting guard position.
Uh-huh. So you're playing top of the key.
Yeah. So I'm kind of on the perimeter and I'm not usually, bringing the ball up to court much.
Yeah.
I wasn't great at that.
But you are money from behind that arc. Yeah. Though.
But if I could spot up and hit an open shot, that's kind of what I did. And obviously, a lot of Aggie fans knew that I guarded. I played D.
Very tenacious. I was actually quoted in an article they did on, I don't know if you guys saw that article they did on Justin Bean.
Mm-hmm.
But I was quoted saying that that I thought that he reminded me a lot of you, the way he's just tenacious. He gets after it. Kind of like a Brian Green, because he's kind of a Tyler Newbold, Brian Green hybrid.
Yeah,
Works hard. And the horse, as they called you.
Yeah. We can talk about where that came from, too. I like to think it's the workhorse, but there's a story to that one.
Oh,
but,
yeah, we'll get to it. you're just a very, you're a hard worker out on that court. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in life in general, but that's what was one of my favorite time and era, because you guys, you had a team of hard workers, but you in particularly just looked like you were just moving and you didn't, you didn't rest. It was like that full time, however many minutes you had, 30, whatever minutes you get every game, you're just killing it. And it was really fun to watch.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it. I had a blast playing, and, that's something I always took to heart, is like just grinding and just putting your full effort out there. I knew I was never going to be the most athletic guy.
Yeah. Are you from there, so. Payson?
Yep. From Payson.
Yeah.
That's where I spent my high school years, and, grew up all around Utah. My dad was a high school basketball coach when I was growing up.
So basketball's in your blood then.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely is. He was a coach when I was born. He was an assistant at Jordan High School.
Okay.
Here in
Beat Diggers?
The Valley. Yeah, the Beat Diggers. Great mascot. And shortly after I was born, we actually moved to, I kind of laugh because we always lived in a town that started with a P in Utah. So we moved to, I don't know if you know where Panguitch, Utah is.
Oh, yeah.
Middle tiny nowhere. Little town.
Panguitch?
I remember.
Pretty area.
So we lived there. Yeah. He got the head coaching job at Panguitch. So I was just a little teeny guy there. I don't remember much of that, obviously.
Yeah.
And the only thing I remember about that place is the place we lived at, had an owl that lived in the tree.
Oh, nice.
And I remember being terrified of this owl as a little tiny kid. So anyway, I was kind of happy when we moved away from the owl in Panguitch, but we were only there for a year or two. And then we moved to, where I spent most of my like younger childhood was in Price, Utah. Oh, okay. He got the job at Carbon High School in Price. And that's where I spent most of my, grade school years.
Junior high or
not. So we moved to Payson. So that's the third P.
Yeah.
we moved to Payson, but the summer between my seventh and eighth grade year. So I spent my junior high years and high school years in Payson.
Well,
so.
Tyler, I got to say, I think you really missed out on an opportunity in college to live in Providence.
Yeah.
Or paradise. Even if
that's
you want
true. I kind of broke away from that.
Petersboro. Come on, man. You really missed out.
The possibilities are endless.
Oh, wait, that's in Idaho.
You did not want to go to Preston.
Whatever. Preston's awesome.
Just kidding,
lots
Ron.
Lots of good P-towns. Lots of good ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's cool. So lots of pee in your life.
Yep, there it is. Yep, absolutely.
Yep. So you went to high school in Payson.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Payson High or is there a different? Is it?
Yeah, it's Payson High.
What's your mascot?
The Lions.
Mm. Oh,
Snoop. Our gym is the Lions Den.
Oh,
yeah. So that's it was pretty awesome.
Man.
Yeah, I would have.
You can ask Ty Wesley about the Lions Den. We went against each other in high school because he was obviously at Provo. And
yeah.
So
another P.
I was going to say, but that's a good P town to miss.
Yeah. Yes, you don't want to live there.
Yeah, no. I'll cross that one off the list.
As an option. Like, no.
Yeah.
Did you guys beat him? In the Lions Den? Or was he like was he like Daniel and he's
in the Lions Den, we beat him several times, but... I mean, he'll always remind me, and he always did at Utah State, of who got, you know, the higher end of the stick with there. Because we're in the same region, so we'd play twice every year, home and away. And then my junior year, which would have been his senior year, we played in, like, obviously the twice during the season, and I think we split, and then... We met in state championship against each other.
Oh, wow.
And they got the better of us. Which the crazy thing is they were the 4 seed in our region. Our region was incredibly tough.
Really?
That year, they were the 4 seed in our region. And only the 4 teams, 4 out of the 6 got to the state tournament. And so they were the 4 seed. And they got hot. And Ty obviously they played everything through him. And they were super well coached. And they got hot and won it. So...
His coach was really good. Good friends with Stu Morrill.
Yep. Drury.
Yep.
Yep. So they had tons of success there, but those are, it's kind of funny that we're talking about this because I've seen both sides of the Wesley, Ty Wesley, right? I've been on the side where you absolutely just
want to,
you just want to punch him in the face. Like you just hate this guy, right?
That's a friendship
with him. You hate him, right? Yeah. Exactly.
He beats you in everything. It's the worst.
I've seen that. And I've been on that side playing against him. He's such a good player. And then been on the side where he'll do anything for you.
Yeah. What would you rather play against him or play with him?
Definitely play with him. Definitely play with him. Because he's just a problem out there. He's such a good player. And thing I loved about him as a post guy is if he did get double teamed, he's a great passer too.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't afraid to dish it.
No, like if that's the thing playing with him that's so fun is if you can get a post guy that can pass it well and is willing to pass when he's getting doubled, that's how you get, that's where the relationship between guards and posts can really like mesh so well together if both sides, if the guards know how to feed the post and do it really well, and then the post guy knows how to kick it back out and can create if they collapse on him, that's when you get like really good shots every time down. And not a lot of post guys know how to pass. So that's something we loved about him when he was up there.
So when you were playing in high school, were you always, being the son of a coach, were you always playing AAU ball or was basketball always what you did? Like, talk to us a little bit about growing up
and
adopting basketball as like your game.
Yeah. So obviously, like I said, growing up, I was always in a gym with, my dad being a basketball coach and just kind of grew up with it, which I loved it. And so basketball was always kind of my thing. But I loved other sports too. played baseball all growing up pretty competitively. I played baseball in high school. I actually made all state in high school in baseball.
Oh, wow. What position did you play?
So I played, I played first base and center field, more first base than center field. Mostly because my arm was awful. The reason why I made all state was my hitting. I was a good hitter, decent on defense, nothing special, but which is kind of funny because in basketball I was really good at defense, but yeah. It was kind of opposite, I guess. So I did that. I loved baseball. But the funny thing is like basketball was always my thing where like I was always practicing it. Like I'd go from baseball practice to go doing basketball open gyms. I actually played golf in high school too.
Oh, wow.
So I would go from golf practice, you know, at the beginning of the school year to basketball workouts later that night. So basketball I was always doing. So in high school our golf team was not good. But I just love golf, right? Like it's just fun. Yeah. And I made the team. I was always one of the last guys to be on the team and make the team. So I was good enough to make the team. And then you'd go golf for free, right? Like I didn't even care. Like honestly, I didn't care if I qualified for the tournaments.
Right.
I qualified for some and it was so fun, but I'll go and play free golf every day after school. How can you beat that? I look back on those days and I'm like, man, I didn't realize how good I had it.
Yeah, but good. I tried out for golf my freshman year and I had not like I played a bunch with my dad when I was younger, but I was not good. And my mom's like, go try out for the golf team. I'm like, okay. Still had like miniature clubs. Like they were like full clubs. They were like youth clubs, right?
Yeah.
And you after like the first 18.
A five iron and a nine iron and a putter and stuff.
Yeah. Coach is like, you know what? We just, you know, we're going to have to catch you. Dude, I understand.
That's awesome.
So good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My high school was a little bigger where they had more people that were good. So
yeah, we weren't rich.
Yeah.
We weren't great on the golf team, but I to golf every day after school, just and go from that and to go to basketball workouts. And then I did. Yeah. I hit like my junior year. I started doing a lot of the AAU stuff. I started playing with this team, called Salt Lake Metro. I played with like Jackson Emery.
Oh, really?
He played with me all the time. And
that sucks.
So right? I know. It's one of those things. It's funny going against him. Because
you guys played against him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he played at that school down south.
Yeah, he did.
Gross.
So, yeah, it is pretty gross.
His sister, though, she chose the right school. Annie went to Utah State.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's true.
Yep.
I know Annie actually a little bit, too.
She's pretty cool. She was there when we were there.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a nice girl.
That's the only one we need to talk about. That whole family. So, was your AAU team pretty good?
Yeah, we were pretty good. I'm trying to remember.
As much as I don't like the guy, he's a pretty good baller.
Yeah, we actually, if people know
like
and followed him as all, he was good at defense too. He was, one of the best defenders BYU's had in a long time along the perimeter anyways. And so we would lock some guys up like when we'd go play in these tournaments, because a lot of times it's like it's all about offense and it's all about like showboat and offense and like let me try to impress. And it was fun to play with him just for the fact that like we both liked to guard and we both did it pretty well. And so we would lock some people up on the perimeter in those tournaments. Sure. And it was pretty, that was fun. And so we had some success and had played with some other good players that were on some of those teams. But yeah.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
Seriously is so frustrating playing against a really good defense. It's, come on, man. Let me take a shot.
Yeah. I remember that in church ball. One time I played basketball, I got cut my freshman year.
Yeah.
Because it was the head baseball coach, and he just said, go get ready for baseball. I was like, but I want to play basketball.
Okay, so what? When do you start getting looked at for Utah State?
Yeah, so I'm trying to put together like the timeline, but it would have been in my junior, probably like the summer between my sophomore and junior year, I started getting a little bit of noticed. Basically when I started the AAU stuff, that started to kind of pick it up, obviously. But
now, were you already like tall-ish at that point?
Yeah,
or did you grow after that? Okay.
Yeah, how tall were you in high school?
So I grew a ton between my freshman and sophomore year of high school. So I was pretty much the same height I am now, into like 6'4".
Okay.
Going into my sophomore year of high school. So, and I didn't really grow much after that because okay. I've been kind of that same height since then. So it was looking at that point, like maybe I'm going to be up to, you know, grow a little much higher, but
was it hard for you to like control your body? Like, were you pretty good? Because I mean, you had to have been athletic if you're playing all the sports all the time, but like to get a growth spurt like that, I would just imagine that the coordination might've like lacked a little bit.
I think I was able to pick it up maybe faster than some.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, cause I spent a lot of time. I mean, that's honestly in high school. That was I grew a ton, and then that was the time that I got the best as well. As I mean, as far as like how much I improved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So between my freshman and sophomore year, I spent a ton of time in the gym. I really like dedicated to it. Really wanted to get better. And I really wanted to kind of like, hey, I want to, you know, I did want to eventually get a scholarship. Like I wanted to play college basketball, right?
That was so a goal like, then for you.
Yeah. So I took it pretty seriously from a younger age. And then, I was 6'4" going into my sophomore year. And then, cause I didn't dress varsity as a freshman. And then I went to about five or six games into my sophomore year of high school. I was starting.
Oh, wow.
So like
wow.
there was a lot of improvement. I grew a ton. And so like that was pretty cool to have that happen that quickly for me at that time. It was pretty exciting.
But was Pace in awesome. One of those schools that you have 9 through 12?
So it's 10 through 12.
Okay.
Unless it's changed. But when I was going 8th and 9th was the junior high. And then and the junior high was actually like right next to the high school. So my 9th grade year, I did play up on I did play like sophomore and JV ball.
Oh, wow.
So I just run up after school to practice because the schools are like right
next
to each other.
I was always impressed with those kids, the ninth graders, because we had the same situation, 10 through 12 at Skyview when I was there. And I was always impressed with, you didn't see him hardly ever in the sports, but the ninth graders that would come and play sophomore, JV, or even varsity, you know, a couple guys. Mm-hmm. We had some freshmen that wrestled that were just like, on the varsity level, I was like, dang, man, I cannot believe that. Because from a freshman to a sophomore is a pretty big jump. I mean, even in your case.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I grew a ton. And I mean, that's not like you said, not just me. That's there's a lot of growth that happens for a ton of people at that age in life. So funny thing, I mean, I was 6'4", but I was, I mean, what, like 175, 180 maybe. And at Utah State, when I started, you know, they bulked me up a little bit. Yeah. 6'4", like 210 when
shoving the muscle milk kinda, down your throat.
I mean, never like humongous,
no,
but
it's
they definitely put a few pounds on me once I got back up there. But.
I just wanted to say one thing. I like on the note of like having freshmen play at that level. I always thought the same thing because I at my school it was 9th through 12th in the same school and. My freshman year, I played varsity baseball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I played varsity like I lettered every year. Yeah. But it was funny because I remember when I got older, realizing how like kind of impressive that is when I would see kids younger than me playing and competing at that level. Because I'm thinking, man, you guys were playing Pony League last summer.
Yeah.
And the next thing you're playing against guys that are about ready to go play D1 ball in some cases and JUCO ball. And I always thought, like in baseball, I think you can get away with that a little bit more in some ways because like the size doesn't necessarily matter as much as like actual coordination and skill. But when you see like guys that are sophomores playing on the varsity, especially in basketball where they're big and coordinated, it's just mind blowing. Like in football too, I think we had a couple guys. Chase Harris, shout out, he's an Aggie, played football at Utah State a little bit, but played freshman football on varsity and JV, and I just couldn't believe like when you like sit back and think that kid was in junior high last year, like eighth grade to varsity, like that's a jump.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
That's where you look at like LeBron James' son and D Wade's son, and you're like, what the crap are these people? Like this is insane. No. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your
question. No,
that was, you probably forgot what you're going to ask now. I apologize.
Yep. No, that's good. That was a great way to go with it, though, so I don't care. So who first reached out to you?
Yeah, so that's a good question.
Not just Utah State. Did you talk to other schools?
Yeah, quite a few actually.
You didn't talk to that school down south.
I mean, the school down south, that's what we'll refer to them as.
I'm going to beep out anytime you say anything else.
They came in, it's kind of funny because I'm you know, living in Utah County and being right next to it. And I didn't hear from them until very, I did hear from them, but I didn't hear from them until very late in the process, like almost to a couple, like week or, you know, not week or two, maybe like a month before I actually committed to Utah State. And they had been on me for a long time, as well as others. Uh-huh. And at that point they were like, are you, would you be interested? And I'm like, well, thanks, but
not
like,
with that
no,
attitude.
No, like obviously when you're getting recruited, you want to go somewhere you're like, feel like, hey, they really want me, right?
Oh, yeah, like Nate Bendel.
I will say though that at that time they were kind of going from a transition because that was like right at the end of Steve Cleveland, and then going into Dave Rose, so there was some dynamic with that, and
same thing with Ty. Ty had an issue with that.
Yeah, and so it's, and to be honest, I often think too. I don't know the whole story, but obviously they did. Me and Jackson Emery are the same age and we played together and all in that AAU team and whatnot, and they kind of were going hard after him, so I almost wonder like, okay, and we're very similar type of players, I would think in their mind, and so I'm almost wondering like, you know, that's who they were going winning after, and then they didn't really have a spot, right? Like which I'm fine with, I'm happy with how it all worked out, right?
Well,
but it, you know, it's, that's kind of how it worked out with them. And then as far as other schools, like I heard from, I mean, I got recruited by quite a few schools, but when it came down to the end, it kind of came down between Utah State, University of Utah, University of Wyoming. And then I also took some visits to, University of Colorado as well. So those were kind of the final
some pretty big
ones,
schools.
That it kind of came down to at the end. And then there was a lot that reached out to me besides those, but when it came down to the end, those were the, like the ones that
I felt most strongly about. What stood out to you? Why Utah State? Did you take a visit? Was it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things. I obviously, my parents, both went to Utah State. So I obviously grew up knowing like the environment up there.
The Scotsman.
Right. Like I knew, I mean, and it's one of those things. I just knew the environment up there. I loved it. There's a lot of things that went into it. Cause I, and my dad being a basketball coach, he, and understanding and just being, you know, understanding the process of recruiting and certain things like that. It's kind of funny. I remember him actually making like a spreadsheet of like, here's all the schools and here's the ones that are like showing the most interest. And then having like categories as far as like, coaching stability, like what's the likelihood of this guy being here when you're back from your mission, and then like that's just one thing, but then like you know the conference you're playing in, the you know, just like all these different things, and he like helped me build this out, which I look back now and I'm like, that's kind of funny, but but I'm glad he did it because it did help me like think through like okay, like I do have to think about like, is this guy gonna even be here when I get back? And so looking at all those different things and then evaluating like Utah State in those things, it was like, oh yeah, like, you know, Stu is going to be here when I get back, right? Legend. Like there's no way he's gone. he was going to be there until he wanted to be done. And so that was that. And then just a lot of things at that time, they were making the transition from the Big West to the WAC, and the WAC was really good. It was like a two-bid league at that time. And so that was a big deal. And just
when you say two-bid league, you're talking about, what?
Talking about how many teams they get into the
NCAA
tournament. Tournament. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I've just
like getting, to clarify.
Yeah. I've been getting hounded on those.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of went into it.
But. So your sister's the only reason you're doing this.
Yes.
I love it, but it's fair. She's definitely not the only one that's asked.
No,
sometimes
but she listens to every episode. So this is for you.
Shout out Aubrey.
Twin sis.
Two-bit league.
Yeah. It's a good league.
So so we're transitioning to the WAC. And
it really was not a shabby conference. No. Even all the time we were in it till right when we left.
Yeah,
the poor WAC.
It's funny now
because RIP.
You got like all these like WAC championship shirts and hats and whatnot. And then people look at them now and be like, wait,
what's
the WAC
stand for?
With like Chicago State and
UVU.
Like, I'm like, no, it was like
it was
the Mountain West
legit,
now, basically, but a few teams that weren't, but it's kind of funny, but.
So who reached out, did you have a specific coach that was constantly recruiting you from Utah State?
So throughout my recruitment process, I actually did, I mean, talk with all of them that were there at the time, but I remember the most active ones were Coach Duryea.
Yeah.
And I did hear from Coach Berlin a lot. And then
the funny thing is,
I actually heard quite a bit in my early part of my recruitment process from Coach Ray.
Oh, really?
Because Ray was at USU, I think, until 2004.
And then I graduated. When he went to Weber.
And then he actually went to Utah for a short time as an assistant. Oh. And then he went to Weber in like 2006.
I think. Has killed it there.
Yeah, and has done great there. And so the funny thing about that is I heard from a lot of them, and I'll kind of tell you a story in a minute about Stu, because something I thought was kind of cool in my recruitment process and kind of how he closed me. So I'll tell you that in a second. But
he was a hard closer.
So the thing about Randy Ray that I thought was cool is even after he left USU, he had been, you know, he knew who I was. He had been recruiting me during his time there. He left. When I committed to Utah State, even though I can't remember if he was, he was at Utah at the time as an assistant before he got the job at Weber. He reached out to me and when I committed and said, like, that's the best decision you've ever made.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Like you're going to love it up there. You're going to be a perfect fit. Like, and I thought that was so cool, even though he wasn't there anymore for him to like say that. I was like, I felt like, okay, I'm going to where I need to go.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is cool.
Let's hear your Stu story.
And then the Stu story isn't anything too crazy. It's just that I remember when, I forget all the dates and all how it all works now, but like they have like dates where they can officially like make visits to, you know, in your house and that sort of thing. Yeah. And I don't know what those dates are anymore. I don't know. And I don't really care, but, I still remember him coming in on whatever the first day that they were allowed to visit you in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to my house and I still remember him. I forget exactly how he said it, but I remember him looking me right in the eyes and saying like, you know what, Tyler, like I could be anywhere in the country right now. And I chose to come here because I want you, like, I want you to come up.
Dang.
And I was like,
did you feel like he was big time in you, or did you feel important?
Like at the time I remember feeling like pressure, like, oh my gosh, like what? Like, yeah, he really could, like he could be anywhere he wanted to be right now. And he is here. So it's like definitely like pressure of like the hard close sale type of thing.
you know? Sales,
like,
right?
Yeah. And I've been in sales for a while now and understand like what's the dynamic to that. And, and looking back on it now, after I've gone through some of my life in a sales job, it's funny to look back on like how he did that.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, to be honest, it was one of the things that it helped. It worked for sure. Because I did realize like, yeah, he could be anywhere.
Yep.
And he came in and told me that. And I was like, man, that's really cool. Like at the time I was like overwhelmed while he was still there because he's just so massive and he's just a daunting figure
to be walking through your door.
But right. Like, and so I remember, but then I remember after he left, like thinking about it being like, man, like, yeah, that's true. Like, that's really cool. And that was definitely one of the things that I was like, okay, they're serious about it. And one of the things that got me up there for
Head
sure.
Head coach so, shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. I could not like disregard that. You know what I mean? So it was pretty cool.
How was your visit? Was it fun?
Yeah. I don't even think I went on like an official.
Oh really?
Oh really?
Official visit. Like I definitely went up there. My parents wanted to go up anyway because they're former Aggies, right?
Yeah,
they wanted to go up to the game. So like I went on several like unofficial type visits, and I never actually went on a quote unquote like official up there. Yeah. Which now that I think about it now, I'm like,
probably should have done that.
Like, because I forget what the rule is. Because don't you get like five or six?
Yeah,
I think it's five.
Now I think about it now, and I'm like, why didn't? If I could go back, like, why didn't I take all of them? Even though, like, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I regret that, but because I did, I went to Colorado and Wyoming, but I probably could have taken more.
So right after high school, do you go on a mission or do you go up your first year? And, like, because you didn't do that, right? You went on a mission, right?
Yeah. So I went on a, luckily, this was the timing and how we got it worked out. Obviously, now with the 18 change, it would have been easier, but. Luckily, I was able to, I wanted to go before. I wanted to be able to come back and do the whole 4 years. And so luckily, I was able to go beforehand. I went to San Bernardino, California.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. It was awesome. And yeah, love those people down there. And I actually just drove, me and my family just a couple weeks ago went to Disneyland. So every time you drive down there, like you're driving right through my mission through Victorville and through the ugly parts of California and like through the San Bernardino, it's all right there. So it's kind of fun to be able to drive down through there and kind of see some old people that mean a lot to you. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, so I went there, and then came back, in 2007. So that was 2005 to 2007. And then, started and came back, would have been, I'm trying to remember. I got back and then I went to school like a week later. It was like in August. Yeah. So it was,
was that a hard transition from missionary life to college life?
Yes and no. Yes. I mean, it was definitely hard, like, because it was different and I was like,
and you hadn't been working out probably. Right?
Yeah. And that part of it was awful, to be honest with you. Like, cause it was,
you didn't redshirt that year.
No. I was planning to. Mm-hmm. Because I got back and I only had a few months until like practice started and all that. So was planning to redshirt. That was the plan all along. And then, I don't know if you guys remember Nick Hammer,
the
Hammer. I can't remember how exactly all the details with it, but I know, you know, he quit. And obviously he was in a similar position that I was going to be playing. And so I remember Stu coming to me and being like, look, he quit and we need to have some depth here. Like, you're probably going to have to not redshirt. And I remember being frustrated at the time because I was so out of shape. I was not ready. Right. Like I was like, well, I don't want to waste a year and not feel like I'm in shape until the end of the year. Right. And so that was really hard at first. But looking back on it now, I kind of lucked out because we started off pretty awful. We started off like 5-5 that year. And then that's when coach came in and was like, hey, we got to make some changes and we got to figure this out. And that's, you know, after we started 5-5, that's the game that Ty and I both started. Game number 11, we played at, we played at Bakersfield, Cal State Bakersfield. And me and Ty, that was our first start. And we won 10 games in a row after that. And we kind of took stranglehold on those positions and didn't let them go ever again, which was awesome. So,
which we were talking, you and Ty, you actually have one more game started than Ty, and you guys hold the record for most games started at Utah State, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. If not, I know I'm right up there.
I don't think that's changed. Cause I remember at first you did have that. I don't think anybody's,
I don't know if JC has more than that. I don't know. I think there was one.
The real important is just that it's one more than Ty. That's all we want.
That's right. That's all we're focusing on right now.
Yeah.
And the one more start than Ty.
And aren't you the most winning class?
Yeah, I think that's for sure. Because we had a couple, I mean, we won 30 games twice. The years we didn't, we won 27, 28. My freshman year was like 24. And so, yeah, we won a bunch.
That first year, we were in the WAC when you got back by that point, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. My first year was like JC's senior year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It seems like you guys played together more.
Yeah.
Like when I think back and think about the games I watched you guys play, it just seemed like.
It's funny with that first my freshman year because, you know, JC was a senior and I remember I shot like 55% from three in conference play. And I obviously didn't get that many attempts.
I was just saying, how many attempts?
Right. But I had enough attempts within conference play to like barely qualify for the conference statistics, official statistics.
Yeah.
So I always remember like joking with JC because JC was shot like 49% from three that year. Like, he shot with like, you know, like, yeah, exactly.
which is good.
With like,
it's incredible. Yeah.
Way more attempts.
The line was closer then. But
yeah, no. Exactly. That's true. It keeps getting moved further back. But the funny thing is like, I would always joke with him, like, you know what? Like I'd be like, dude, I'm shooting better percentage from three than you are. And you're getting all the pub and you're getting all that. I was obviously joking. Right. Like, and the reason why he would always just laugh it off because he knew I was joking too. But the funny thing about it is, the reason why I shot 55% is because every time I did shoot a three my freshman year, I was standing wide open.
Right.
Wide open. Because everybody's so focused on him.
Yep.
They don't know who I am yet. Yep. Right.
You let them know pretty early, though.
And I was just standing there like wide open. And so that's, I kind of laugh at that now. And I remember joking with him about that because that's awesome. Made just enough to qualify for the stats for the conference. And I was like, man, I'm shooting better from three than you are. But
yeah, you were clutch, man. You were clutch. Oh, yeah. I remember that. You really, like your stats probably, I mean, that you probably didn't maintain a 55%.
No.
But you were ahead of an up there, though.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like over my career, I was around, you know, 40% from three, maybe a little higher. I can't remember, but I definitely, and I obviously didn't take a ton of threes, but
yeah,
I knocked them down when I took them. I got at a good clip. So
one thing I was always impressed with too is like, you were good at like following your shot. Like you'd get your own rebounds. You know, it was like I say, you were just a force. You were always in there and moving, and probably one of the most annoying players to play against because you're everywhere.
Yeah.
And you don't see a lot of guys getting their own rebounds, you know, even at the time. It just doesn't happen.
I mean, I don't mean to talk NBA or anything, but like that's one of the stats that impresses me about Zion Williamson right now. Did you see the statistic that just came out now that he's healthy and back in there that he's I can't remember how many points he scored, but like 75% of them were rebounds from his own shot. So he had missed a certain number. Given he's shooting a lot close to the basket, so he's two steps from the ball.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just really impressive because he's playing like a rookie, right? He's really scrappy and trying to get time and points. But yeah, I just think that's impressive. Someone like Justin Bean is a similar story. He's maybe not following his own shots. That guy can read the ball off the rim like. I just have never seen anybody quite like that. He's really talented with that. But those kind of statistics kind of pop out when you're realizing like, oh, that's hustle. You know, that's work.
Yeah. I mean, you, that's something I always took pride in is like, nobody's going to like play harder than I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Right. Like some of these guys are going to be, they're more talented than I am. Like the fun thing I look back on my career now is like, I got to play against Paul George and Damian Lillard, and I got to guard these guys, right? And look at what they're doing now. It's fun to like brag to my like 6-year old now that I'm starting to get into basketball and liking it more. He's like, hey, I played against these guys and I did well. Like I held my own, right?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah,
and
glory days.
And I'm
daddy.
Watching. Well, and a side note, I'm like watching Damian Lillard now, and I'm like, man, I'm glad he wasn't this good when he was Weber. He was plenty good enough then.
Like, yeah, he was really good.
I wouldn't be able to do anything on him now, but. But just to like, that was kind of my mindset is like, I knew I had enough talent. I knew to play and to contribute. But I knew that what was going to take me to the next level to be able to play and to start and be consistent and is to, I had to play just as hard or harder than the people I was going against. And so that's kind of what my mindset was and what I brought every day to practice and what I wanted to kind of show everybody and lead that way. And a lot, as a lot of people know, like I'm not super outgoing. I'm more of a shyer type person, right? And so my thing was like, I'm going to lead by example. Like I'm going to lead and show like these younger guys as I, you know, got older at Utah State, like this is how you have to do it.
Yeah.
Not by telling them, but like every day you show up, you grind, and this is how you have to play. This is how you have to bring it every day if you want to be successful and if we want to have a good team. And
I don't think Utah State could have handled a different, another boisterous, outgoing player other than Ty. he kind of filled the limit there.
Yeah, he talked enough trash for a lot of us, so we didn't need to, you know. So
yeah, your team, man, I really consider your team my team. I love those guys. Every one of them that you played with, it was just it was a great time for me to be there to be able to witness just great basketball. Even though most of you know I'm not a basketball fan, but when you're in the spectrum, I don't care if you like basketball or not, you love Aggie basketball.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Unless you're playing against us, then you hate it.
But even some teams kind of like it too.
Yeah,
you can tell.
And it's getting up to be back where it used to be now. But like, man,
and you go up to most of the games, right?
Yeah, I go up to. So I went up. I've been up to like three or four this year. So not all of them, but we bought like a little package to go up.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Because we want to go, and I love being up there. You know, I'm I'm an Aggie for life, and I want to support. And I just love, I love watching sports. I love watching basketball. So of course, I'm definitely going to go up
and as much as I can. And the Spectrum's a great place for it.
Oh my gosh, there's no place better.
I can say that I've never been in a better environment than the Spectrum.
Yeah, the environment's insane.
I was so excited last year. I was able. We bought 3 tickets to the Nevada game at the beginning of the year, last year, knowing that it was probably going to be a good game. Nevada has had a great team coming back, having no clue what was going to happen, how big that game was going to be. And I was so, like, I was such a proud, like, dad, because I took my, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old boy, and those are who I took to the game, my 2 boys. And be able to take them to that game.
I remember walking in with you guys. We walked into the Nevada game together.
Yeah. I remember just feeling like, man, I'm just a proud, like, papa right now. Like,
because they get an experience.
Yeah.
They
like to show them, to like to have them be there and be in, like, hey, obviously you guys weren't here when I played, but like, this is what it was. Like, this is how that awesome it is. And it's just a riot, a party, and it's just so fun. So.
That's special, honestly. Yeah. That's kind of cool to think about.
That is special. I don't know. I think Aggie sports is just a special thing. So if you get to be an athlete at Utah State, that's a special thing. And then if you get to be a fan witnessing any of the sports, that's another very special thing.
It's true.
Completely agree. I loved it. So
what were some of your favorite moments in the Spectrum or on the road?
Yeah.
Do you have any of this kind of pop
out? Let's get some Spectrum moments. And one or two Spectrum moments, and then maybe.
So we're coming up on March Madness. We're hoping to get that bid. We got to win that one, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Spectrum moments. So I remember. Oh man, I think I'll always remember the BYU game when they came up there. Right. Or the team down south when they came up there. Sorry. just for the fact that.
Which one? Was that the one?
It was in 2009.
Yep.
I was at that one. And I just remember
that one too.
That was my first Wild Bill game.
That was the first one?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, dress up.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was my first dress up. I did.
What'd you wear? I was
Chippendales.
Oh yeah.
I remember looking down at you. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
That was fantastic.
That was a good one.
That's when the legend was born.
the true legend.
Sorry. Keep going on that.
No, you're good. I just remember that game just being so the Spectrum was always crazy, but the environment and how many, like, I just remember warming up and like just having so much fun, just reading all the signs.
Those signs that year, we got into trouble for two.
There was some. Awful,
we always got in a little trouble.
There was some that were just
just head crazy.
The one I remember was the only cougar I like was Jimmer's mom.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And that environment for that one was just I'll always remember that. The reason why that was so heated, I think that one, I mean, it's always heated against them, right?
But yeah,
there was horrible. A year where they got out of coming to the Spectrum because my career, we only got to play them up there one time because of how the contracts work. And a lot of people were scared.
Scared.
And so I just remember that was the only time. And it had been like 3 or 4 years since they'd been up there. And it was, I remember the students camping out beforehand and then,
It was Occupy the Spectrum.
That was that year. Yeah,
dude.
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah. Maybe that was the second time.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure BYU practiced in the Spectrum the night before the game. They were up there. And I remember a video like coming out on social media while I was at home, like late that night of like all you guys welcoming them to this, like the day before the game and just screaming at them. And I'm like, this is the day before the game. This is crazy. This is awesome. Yep.
I was there.
We could smell them when I got into the valley.
Like that does not happen.
Gross.
Very many other places, if any. So I'll always remember that. I'll always remember when speaking of Nevada, they came in and Mark Fox, who was their coach at the time, made a comment about how, you know, crowds don't really impact the game or something like that.
I remember the signs of that one too.
Can you hear me now? That was a big one. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been others that have already talked about this game on your podcast. And but
that game, I remember it was hurting ears. Like,
It was unbelievable.
There's picture of that game of the towel boys or whatever clean up the thing, towel kids, because there's girls too. And they're just wincing in pain, yeah, holding their ears because it is so loud down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my ears hurting after that one. That was by far the loudest I've ever heard while playing sports in all the time that I was at Utah State. I just remember the sequence of events of that game of not them, like all of the students knowing what the coach said about it,
yeah, yep,
and like being extra amped just because of that. Mm-hmm. And then the game was really close. It was a good game. That team we were playing was good. They had Luke Babbitt and Armand Johnson, those guys. I remember that. And I remember, that sequence of events when Stevon Williams hit those threes.
I'm chills.
Oh, he's like chicken skin, bro.
The funny thing, the great part about it was like, I was on the court the whole time during this, and Stevon's, hits a three. We come down, he hits another three, and we go down on defense, and Brady gets that huge block. I swear his head was above the rim, and he just tosses the guy out. And the funny thing is I remember vividly, as soon as we got the ball, I knew it, even though I hadn't seen the play call yet, because a lot of people remember the old cards that Stu was known for. I remember vividly knowing exactly the play we were going to run before they even pulled it, because I knew Stevon was on fire, and I knew exactly what the play was going to be. I didn't even have to look. And so we run it, and he gets open again and drills it again, and then it was just bedlam.
The floor was shaking. And
oh, man, I'm seriously chills everywhere right now. I wish I could give those memories, like when I start having children, to them, because it's just like, that's so special.
Hey, with technology, we might be able to download our memories. Seriously.
That game and many like it in the spectrum, just it's life, literally for me, life changing, changed my life. And I just can't believe it. It was just, Stevon killed it.
Yeah.
But that's, just right then, the whole team was on fire that night, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, like you said, it leaves me speechless just thinking about it. Right. Like it was one of those deals where it was just like, I'm never going to probably experience something like this the rest of my life. And it was incredible. Right. Like it was just so cool.
It was so loud. Wasn't that the same time when he hit that, they called a timeout between like one of the shots, and they get halfway to the halfway down court before anybody knows that the whistles are going off trying to stop them, because nobody could hear anything.
Yeah. I remember the refs.
Like, I know that happens occasionally.
Had to be very
with their hands waving. Yeah, for sure. And that was like one of those times I was kind of around the side, so I was like directly across from the scorer's table. And I just remember the refs were like trying to get the ball back, because the one ref didn't know the other ref was blowing the whistle for the timeout. So they hand the ball in, and then they toss, like, I couldn't. And the crowd just, it got louder once that we realized there was a timeout too, because now we know they're surrendering to some degree. Like,
you know what I thought was cool? One of the best compliments I think Utah State's ever received was, I was talking to one of the refs, and he said, all of us love coming to Utah State.
Really?
He's like, we love the environment here. This is our favorite place to come. And I was like, oh man, should you be telling me that? He's like, no.
And I'll bet the Mountain West refs don't think that this year after that Boise State. I'm loving the Boise State fans on Twitter. They're like pulling up stats, trying to like talk about how these refs should not have, like one of the refs, it was like only his 8th Division I game he's called or something. And oh my gosh, it's such an eye roll. Like, that's what funny. You're going to come up with. Sounds like a BYU fan.
They're gross. Not all of them, babe. All
right. So what other moments do you have? Because obviously, I think a lot of us, we've talked about it a few times, that game that you just mentioned. Do you have any others that, like, for you personally, maybe that kind of stand out?
Yeah. So there's a couple that.
Hawaii on the road, Brian Green going nuts.
That was cool.
Oh, wow. What a game.
That one was fun because Brian, as a lot of people know, is our kind of fireball off the bench.
Yep.
Came in almost, it's kind of funny because we watching the Jazz recently, my wife made the comment to me the other day about this Clarkson guy that comes off the bench, and I was like, it's Brian Green. I mean, very different player, right? Like he's ISO, and but that was our Jordan Clarkson for the Jazz. Now that Brian, and that was his role, like come in and get buckets, like
and load him up. Remember, load him up.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. As he came back down,
he would always load his. He would load his guns.
I loved it because he'd take his left hand and throw. pat his right elbow and then go right yep. hand, pat his left elbow, like he was loading up his guns. And yeah. I loved
that. So that game at Hawaii, I remember he had a huge night, and I actually had a huge night too. I scored like 18 or 20 too. 18 or 20 as well, not 18 or yeah. 22. But that was fun. I remember my in-laws were actually at that game in Hawaii. They planned a trip to Hawaii, and it was during that game, and they came into it. That was kind of cool to have them there.
Oh, that's awesome.
But one of the ones that I remember the most that I'll always remember is, and it wasn't on the road. It was one of the conference tournament games my sophomore year against New Mexico State. It was the year that the conference tournament, it was in Reno.
Oh, that was rough for me.
You care to go into more depth here? Or
he
not?
Has drunk. He's all the time. Okay. He's talked about it plenty.
I need to go back and listen to the podcast.
No, I don't know if we've talked about it on there, I guess. Oh. Probably some.
But the thing I remember, so we won our first game. I can't even remember who we played in the first game, like Fresno maybe. And then we played New Mexico State in the semifinals with Jamar Young and Wendell McInnes and all those, gosh, all those dudes, right? Which, yeah, we don't need to talk about them, but
yeah.
I remember us getting down. We were down by like 14 points at halftime. Like they came out and kind of blitzed us pretty good. And I remember being in at halftime, and I remember like no one was panicked at all, even though we were down 14 points, because we knew that that team would let us get back in the game if we just kept playing. And just kept doing our thing. They weren't going to stay as hot as they were. We're like, we just keep playing, keep executing. We'll come back. We'll have a chance to win this game. Make a long story short, the biggest thing why I remember this game is we were down by one point. I can't remember. Was it 1 point? Anyway, we were down at the very end of the game, and we got the ball back with about 10 seconds left. We call timeout. We set up a play for Ty and for Jared Quayle to kind of like come off a screen. And anyway, I'm standing in the corner. They kind of collapse on Ty when he gets the ball. And then I'm standing wide open in the corner for, you know, with like four or five seconds left. Ty passes it over to me because he's triple teamed basically. Yep. And I was able to take a shot from the baseline, probably like 15 or 17 feet or so. And I was able to make that shot, and we ended up winning the game. It wasn't a game winner because I still think they had like a second left maybe.
Yeah.
But the shot was, I've never had like a game winner, not even in high school. I've never had like a game winning shot like that. Yeah. And so that was something I'll always remember is us coming from behind down 14.
Yep.
And then I was able to knock down that game winning shot. And it's kind of funny because I look back, the shot, it was definitely not pure. Like it hit the front rim, hit the backboard, and then like kind of rolled around the rim, and then finally like rolled in, which was great. Like it took a little more time off the clock.
I was gonna say,
like,
it took another tick or two.
I'm like, man, are you like, that was a little bit stressful because I was standing, it was like almost too wide open. Yeah. I'm like standing there just wide open, no one in around me. So that would have been rough if that one wouldn't have fallen. But I'll always remember that. And then I'll always remember after the game, we did all the media stuff and did the interviews and whatnot. And I remember meeting Stu like in the hallway, and it was just us two. And this is something I'll always remember, just an experience with Stu, is he's like, man, just cherish that. Like not very many people get to have a game winning shot like that. And that's this, awesome. in this big of a stage. And he like gave me a big hug, and
that's cool. It was
like softy moment. Right. But I'll always remember that. Cause that was like, really, like, I probably won't have that experience ever again. Right. And, and so I'll always remember that one. And then the next night, played Nevada on their home court, the awesome crowd. Like they had an awesome crowd, but ours was just as strong as theirs, even though we were playing on their home court, or maybe even better. And that game, we were just so locked in and won the game by 10, I think, and ended up making the big dance and all that. And so anyway, that was the game as far as my personal experience that I'll always remember was that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think even more rare than that game winning shot is the tender moment with Stu.
Yeah, exactly. The softy tender moment.
The guy
moment.
That hard closed you, gives you a soft
exactly,
tag at the end.
Exactly. I'll always remember that part of it. And to be honest, like, you know, we talk a lot about the games and the different games that happened, and there's a lot of great memories from those, but the friendships and those types of things are really, you know, a lot of the stuff off the court with hanging out with your buddies that you go to battle with every day and hanging out with your friends. Yeah. And
you guys were tight.
The experiences we have with you and everything else, like that's the stuff that really means something long term, right? Like, and that's what I loved about the teams we had, is we just had good dudes that like each other and care about each other and want each other to be successful, not only on the court, but off, and, you know, even now.
And I was going to say, even now, like, I feel like it's still a really close-knit group, you know, like you guys are always constantly, somebody's keeping in touch with somebody, you know, going to dinner, helping them, you know, find jobs and different things like that. It's pretty cool.
On the note of friends, before we wrap up here, I think we need to hear a story about a nickname.
Yeah, Horse.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
So, because Horse was your nickname, and we assumed it was Workhorse.
That's what it is. That's what I want.
Oh, okay.
Well, the Horse, I definitely got that nickname. And it happened early on. It happened.
That's what we pretty much called you.
We just
called you Horse.
By the time I was like a junior or senior, like it was, everybody just called me Horse.
I think there's been a couple times on the podcast that somebody said Horse and you had to say Tyler Newbold. Yeah. If you're saying Horse, it's Tyler Newbold. Yeah.
So I'll kind of give you the lowdown of how that came about. So my freshman year, when we would go on road trips, we would take the old PlayStation. And so, you know, when you're in the hotel, like, and you got some, like, free time. The PS, I believe it was a PS1. And we would play the old, the 2-on-2 NBA game.
NBA Jam?
NBA Jam. We'd play NBA Jam against each other, but we wouldn't play as the regular, like, NBA players. I don't know if anybody has played this game, but you can create characters and, you know, whatever. There's just a bunch of different characters you could create of, like, mascots and stuff. Yeah. So the mascot that I made for myself was this horse. Right.
So, and I'd heard this story, but I didn't think it was true. I thought there was like a subliminal thing that they were not telling me.
This is the truth.
Okay,
this is really how it started.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know,
it kind of grew.
And I think I did take it on as like, yeah, I am a workhorse. And that's kind of how it grew from there. And then, like, you know, but that's how it actually got started. Like, I played really well in that game and I had success by playing a stupid video game that I created a horse on. And so every time this horse would make a shot in the game that I was playing, the announcer on the game would be like, horse, right? Like, horse. And so my teammates after that, I'd like do something well in a practice or in a game, or I'd make a shot, like I'd make a three in practice or a three in a game.
Horse.
Cause you know, they just thought it was funny. And then it stuck from something as dumb as that. But after that, the funny thing is that happened my freshman year. So like the guys that were brought onto the team later, a lot of them, they started calling me Horse cause everybody did. But in their minds, it probably was
because
they
thought
it was a workhorse and I worked hard, but like
a
lot of them didn't. Yeah, right? Like a lot of them had no idea that it came from something so like
so dumb as
random as just a video game that I made a horse character and that was my guy the whole time we played on the road trips for that whole year. Like so dumb, but now I look back and I'm like, I kind of adopted it and like, yeah, I'm a workhorse. Like I'll own it. And so I remember like, you know, the players are the first ones that started calling me that. And then it kind of filtered out and then other people did. And then I remember like at one point, like Coach Morrill even started calling me Horse.
Dang.
Oh, and I was really?
Like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'll take it. Like Coach Morrill probably doesn't know where it came from, but they're like, this is cool.
But the fact that he's probably calling you that because he thinks you're a workhorse.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's where I was like, okay,
yeah,
I can deal with this. I like this. So
that's awesome.
That's cool, man. Well, Tyler, thanks so much for taking your time to get over here and and just chat with us. It's
these always go by so fast for me.
I know.
I look down at the time and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been over an hour.
Sorry if I've been rambling.
No, that's the whole point.
Don't worry about that.
That's the point.
Do you have any final thoughts? Any last thing you want to send out to the Aggie Nation there?
No. I mean, just mostly like I love Aggie Nation. I love being up there. Special place in my heart, like it is for you guys and a lot of other people. And I loved all the support we got up there while we were there. I love going back to games now and meeting yep. people and talking to people. And
yep.
I just love all of that. And so I appreciate that. And I love the family vibe. And yeah, it's just, it's awesome. Awesome to be an Aggie. So awesome, I appreciate man. It.
Do you mind leaving us with our tagline there?
Not at all. Every Aggie is a legend. What's your story?
Perfect.
Thanks, Horse.
Yeah, thank you.